In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. May the Lord put his words in your mouth so it could bring through 30 and 60 and 100. Today, the Gospel is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is chapter 5, 6, and 7 from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And there is a short version of it in the Gospel of St. Luke. So today is from the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5 in the Gospel of St. Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount constitutes the principle we have to go by in Christianity. Or, in other words, is considered to be the constitution of Christianity. When you live in a country, you have to follow the constitution of that country. And our heavenly country is the kingdom of Christ. And the constitution of that kingdom is the Sermon on the Mount. It'd be wonderful, you know, I know that the summer vacation, there is maybe another month left. It'd be wonderful if the parents start to teach their kids to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. The first portion of it is prayed in the Agbaya prayers every day in the sixth hour from St. Matthew. So it would be easy to complete, to memorize it. But the parents had to follow up on this with the kids. It's wonderful to memorize stuff from the Gospel and from the Holy Bible. I heard a 14 years old kid was able to memorize the epistle of St. James, the whole epistle, which is, I think it's just 4 or 5 chapters, and just to recite it, memorize it. So that's something for you to consider for the children and for yourself as well. So, what happened that Christ went on the mountain and people came to him? Why he chose the mountain? The mountain is a symbol of heaven, placed high up, symbol of heaven. And the constitution he gave for Christianity had to be from above the earth, not earthly, but above the earth. The first beatitude is blessed, the poor in spirit. See, Christ started by giving the good stuff, the blessings. So he gave 8 blessings as the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed, which is blessed, but also joy. In Arabic we say Toba, or Toba. So there is joy. So it's very positive. Christ stay away from the negative when he started the Sermon on the Mount. So the first one is blessed the poor in spirit. If we want to put another word to explain the poor in spirit, what would be that word? Humble. Blessed the humble. And that's what it is. Blessed the humble, because they have the kingdom of heaven. So humility can get us to the kingdom of heaven. Humility. Poor, somebody who is poor is needing of help. Somebody poor, physically speaking, money-wise, health-wise, they need help. But Christ doesn't refer just to the type of being poor. He said poor in spirit. so humble. So if we are that poor, we need help, and we go running to God, asking for His help. As you remember, we talked about children, and one of the quality of children is humility. And we have to go back to that state of being humble like children. They don't think much of themselves. So the humility, as the saint said, that it is the foundation of all virtues. If you have any virtue but you don't have humility, you don't have anything. I remember also we said about humility that it is that grace and that virtue. If you think you have it, you already lost it. If you think you have humility, you already lost it. Humility is not thinking bad of yourself, but is not thinking of yourself, period. That's what humility is. Remember the story of St. Peter, when they were so tired all night, they were trying to fish, they didn't catch even one fish. And then in the morning, Christ met them and told them, go deep there, in the sea, further deep. And it was during the daytime, and that's not really the ideal time to fish. And St. Peter told him, you know, we were tired all night long, we didn't catch one fish, but upon your word, I will throw the nets. And then when their boats were so filled that they were about to sink, they were so filled with fish and so heavy, then Peter told Christ what? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Get away from me, I am so sinful. And you are so holy. So this is the first beatitude, the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who doesn't want to go to heaven among us? That's what we are looking forward to. Even if this life will be a very long life, God may give you many, many years, but eventually we have to depart and we have to leave it. And when we leave it, we need to be with Christ in His kingdom. So we need to learn how to be humble here on earth. The second one, blessed are those who mourn. Not those who cry, those who mourn. It's like, you know, when you have a death in the family, somebody who is so dear to you that passed away, and you mourn. Mourning is extreme state of sadness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you are that humble, what would you mourn on? What would you mourn on? Yeah, you will mourn on your sins. You will mourn on your sins, how you did such thing to upset your Heavenly Father. So you mourn on your sins, and people who mourn on their sins, they are comforted by the Holy Spirit. St. Peter says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. So, godly sorrow produces repentance that leads us to salvation. And you know what? It was mentioned that Christ wept. You remember when it wept at Lazarus' grave. Do we ever read that Christ wept? There is nothing mentioned in the Bible. He was joyful, but there is nothing mentioned that he wept. It doesn't mean that laughing is not good, but if you have so much laughter in your life and not much sadness, you need to think twice. Because sadness and mourning on your sins bring repentance. Laughter doesn't bring repentance. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed those who mourn. And the third one, blessed are the meek. If you are humble and if you mourn on your sins, you become to be a meek person. A meek person. And the meek person are so loved by people. People love meekness. People love humbleness. People stay away from people with pride. So, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They are loved by others, the meek ones. And then, blessed if you are hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not the regular hunger or thirst, but hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness of who? Of Christ. That we are hungry for the righteousness, or the, another word in Arabic, a bearer. We are so hungry for the righteousness of Christ because we get filled. Filled by what? What will fill us? We spent a few weeks on Friday talking about the Holy Spirit. For they shall be filled by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is the life giver, the Holy Spirit who gives all gifts. We shall be filled by the Holy Spirit when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Remember the Samaritan woman that Christ met as well? She went there during the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, so nobody can see her because she was so ashamed of her life, to fill water from the well. And Christ told her, you don't need to come anymore. I can give you water and you will never be thirsty again. So that's what Christ is talking about. The food and water that he can give to fill your spirit, that you will not have any need for anything else. If anyone, Christ says in John chapter 37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. The Spirit. Even David, the prophet, in his Psalms, he said, as the deer, I'm sure there are so many deers around here, they are everywhere in Texas. As the deer pants for the water brooks, you know, they're just so happy when they see water. So pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Are we really thirsty for God? Do we really feel that we need to be filled by Him all the time and by His Holy Spirit? If we are, blessed are you, because you shall be filled by the Holy Spirit. But you have to seek it. You have to seek it. And I want you to remember this verse today, so I will ask you to repeat it after me. This is from Psalms 48. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, let's try. Deacons, help us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Repeat this verse then. Just repeat it a few times during the day. The Lord is good, and He's so good. Even when we don't ask Him, He's so good to us. I was driving yesterday from San Antonio, and I just couldn't keep my eyes open. So I hear some horns back there to tell me I'm drifting on the other lane. And you know, this is not news to me. When I was in North Carolina, I used to drive to the closest church was 2 hours away. So I used to drive this very much every Sunday. And I drive in a trance. I don't know how I do it or how I did it and made it safely. I have no idea, to be honest. So, you know, he protects us. I mean, you know, I'm not saying or insinuating that you have to take chances like this, but I had no choice, you know, I have to come here. So he knows I didn't have a choice. It's not like a, you know, just leisure trip or so I can postpone it or cancel it. So the bottom line is that he really did take care of us even when we don't ask him. You know, without his protection, without his blessing, we don't know what may happen to us every day in our life. He sent his angel to protect us because he's so good. He's a wonderful father. So all taste and see that the Lord is good. And once we are filled by the Spirit, you know what we become? We become so merciful to other people. We'll have mercy on others. And that's why he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This one is a condition. If you want to obtain mercy from the Lord, you have to be merciful to people surrounding you. So be merciful so you can obtain mercy. Same thing about forgiving. Lord, forgive us as we forgive others. So, as we forgive others, then the Lord will forgive us. As we are merciful on others, the Lord will be merciful on us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then, another quality of children. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God, the pure in heart. Let's just remember how we can bring back those wonderful qualities of young kids, so pure in their heart. I'm talking about, you know, maybe age 3, 4, 5, preschool. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then I will stop at this and elaborate a little bit more on it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Sons of God, the peacemakers. Christ is the Prince of Peace. And if we want to be his children, we need to be his peacemakers. Any place that has division will not last. It will crumble, just a matter of time. If there is division in a family, the family will be shaken. If there is division in a church, the congregation will be shaken, and God protect us, because it may not last. And we see churches going for sale, unfortunately. So, try to make peace. Try to make peace. Let me remind you by Solomon in Proverbs. He said something that really we need to pay attention to. These six things the Lord hates. He says there are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him, something he just detests. The first one is a proud look, pride, no humility, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devise wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. And what is the seventh one? Listen, the seventh is, and when who sows discord among brethren. This is really the Lord hate. Also the Lord hate. But pay attention to the last one, the one who sows discord among brothers and sisters. So whatever we need to do to bring peace, we will be called the sons of the Lord, the sons of the Father, the Heavenly Father. And then the last one is a privilege. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the following verse had to do with this one as well. So Christ gave it really more attention here. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. And he kept to continue on that issue. When we are persecuted for Christ's sake. Because this is a privilege to share in the sufferings of Christ. We have to share in his sufferings so we can share in his resurrection. Either persecution, if we are in a free country like here, maybe some other sufferings we'll have to face. It could be physical, it could be monetary, it could be so many different things just to suffer so we can share in his sufferings. I'm talking about sharing. Nothing compared to the sufferings that Christ suffered for us on the cross. Nothing. And you know, the worst suffering that Christ suffered on the cross was not just the physical suffering, but that he bore our sins, all kinds of sins, from the time Adam sinned to the end of the times. And you can imagine there are horrible, horrible sins. And Christ bore all those sins on the cross. And that's the only way we can get forgiveness. Because he suffered for us. And he redeemed us by his holy blood. And then I will finish by commenting, just a small comment about you are the salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. What does salt do? What do we use salt for? To add taste to the food, so it tastes better. And also, we use salt to preserve food. So food can be kept for years sometimes just by adding some salt. But also salt is, what color is it? It's white. And being white is a symbol of purity. So we need to be like the salt in its purity, so white. So what happens when we sin is no longer white, but once we confess and repent, then we become white again. That's why in baptism, after the child is baptized, they put on him white clothes, which is symbol of new birth and also symbol of purity, and everything is forgiven. So we can get to that white place one more time by repenting. As long as we live, we need to keep repenting, because everybody sin, even if he lives or she lives one day. So we ask the Lord to help us to memorize his constitution, which is the chapter 5 to 7, and to live it, not just to memorize it, but to live it, and make us be candidates by his blood, through his grace, to go to his kingdom when it is time to depart. Glory be to God forever. Amen.